has a church, faithful young man, loves God's word, loves the gospel, and is very good at proclaiming it as well. So please welcome Brandon.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you. Ask that you would come open our eyes to behold your glory, to behold this wondrous mystery of Christ. Holy Spirit, come open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to receive your word. God, I pray that you would just bless the preaching of your word. I pray that as we behold your glory, Christ, that we would become like you today. We become more like you from your word, by your spirit, that you would do this work in and among us for your glory and our good and our joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love this text. I love the Bible, but I love this text because I love Christ and I love what he has done for me. And I want to be like Christ and help others be like Christ. And this text shows me that I can and that we can. It shows that God doesn't command without equipping and providing the means that we need to do his commands. It shows the glories of the gospel and how the gospel changes everything. Everything. Christ has come. Christ has lived. Christ has died. Christ rose for this text. For 2 Corinthians 3:18. For all the promises of God and for this text. This is the text that Christ purchased. He bought on the cross. Christ purchased this verse for you. This is what Christ bought on the cross, and Christ bought your ability to behold and become. And I love this text because it shows me that I and we are partakers of divine nature. It reminds me that I am a new creation in Christ. It lifts my eyes to eternity. It glorifies God. It shows that he alone saves. He alone sanctifies. He alone glorifies. He alone opens eyes. He opens hearts. He opens minds. And I love this text because it gets at the very heart, very center of God's purpose for the universe. It reveals God's heart. And so I love this text. And I hope and I pray that you too would love this text. God's eternal purpose for you, Christian, is to become like Christ. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so at the very center of God's heart for the Christian is becoming like Christ. And the means, the only means, by which we become like Christ is revealed in 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding the glory of Christ. And so, therefore, at the center, very center of God's heart is beholding the glory of Christ. The way that we behold him here determines the way we behold him, or if we behold him, then and there. And so what we are dealing with in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is eternal purposes and plans of God. What we're dealing with in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is eternal purposes of God, eternal plans of God, and at the very heart and center of God's purposes for the universe. And so for the Christian, there's no greater privilege, no greater opportunity, no greater responsibility than beholding the glory of Christ. May this clarify, may this simplify, may this be our one thing, to behold the glory of Christ. Before God addresses us from 2 Corinthians 3:18, turn in your Bibles to Exodus 34. In the previous chapter of Exodus 34, Moses made the greatest request man could make to God. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." The result of his request is Exodus 34, 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, and all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. 2 Corinthians 3 is Paul's commentary on Exodus 34. In the chapter, he has been comparing and contrasting the glory in the Old Covenant to the glory, the superior glory, in the New Covenant. Covenant word for testament, Old, New Testament. The law to the gospel. Tablets to hearts. The letter to the spirit. Death to life. Ending to permanent. Moses to Jesus. And Paul's argument reaches its climactic conclusion in the last verse. Verse 18, which is where we will camp out for the rest of our time. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And as we read God's word, I want us to hear Paul's smile that come through his words, his hands that are lifted as he writes these words because of the glorious effects of the gospel. So church, as we read, here is what we have been saved for, what Paul is about to say. This is Paul's invitation to transformation. And so with Moses in mind, with Moses as the model, with the Corinthian church in mind, with all of their shortcomings, here is what Paul says to them. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." In Exodus 34, God showed Moses his glory on Mount Sinai. After being in the presence of God and seeing the glory of God, the result was that Moses was changed. His face shone with the glory of God. Moses saw glory, and his face became like God's glory. When Moses came down the mountain, he put a veil over his face. Moses veiled his face because the Israelites couldn't see God's glory. They didn't have the eyes to see God's glory. They were veiled to God's glory. And Paul says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 3 that their minds were hardened. to glory. Moses was literally, physically veiled. The Israelites were spiritually, their minds, their hearts were spiritually veiled to the glory of God. And what Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians 3 is he's drawing this connection between the veil in Exodus 34 to the spiritual veil on the minds and hearts of unbelievers today. To Paul, here's what an unbeliever is. An unbeliever is one who can't see glory. Glory in Christ, glory in the gospel. Like the Israelites saw Moses' face, but no glory. Unbelievers can't see the glory of God in Christ and in the gospel, as it once remained or still remains on all of us. The same spiritual veil on the Israelites remains on all unbelievers today. Verse 14, he says, "For to this day, when they," referring to Jews, but more generally all unbelievers, "when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away." Unbelievers don't have the spiritual eyes to see Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, "And even if our gospel is veiled," notice the language, "veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers," referring to Satan, "to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Unbelievers see no glory in Christ. To Paul, it's not enough. It's not enough to know the truth of the gospel. Glory must shine from the gospel. It must shine from it. So church, as we look at this text more deeply, ask ourselves this question: do you see the glory of Christ in the gospel? Does it amaze you? Does it excite you? Do you marvel at what Christ has done for you at the cross? And I'm not saying do we necessarily believe it. We believing is seeing glory. And so not ask the question, do we profess the faith to believe it? Do we see glory? Because believing is what it means to see glory. So to be veiled is to be indifferent. Indifferent about Christ. It's to see nothing attractive about the gospel. There's no brightness. There's no light in it. Merely darkness. And this is not a matter of seeing physically. The Israelites physically saw the face of Moses, but were veiled to its glory. And many, many saw Jesus, like Judas, but crucified him. This is not a matter of physically seeing. Seeing the glory of Christ in the gospel is not seen with physical eyes, but seen with the eyes of our heart and seen with the eyes of the heart that come from the Spirit. And so to behold the glory of the Lord, you must be freed from the veil. This is why in verse 17, the verse before, verse 18, Paul says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Freedom. Freedom from what? Well, God has removed or freed the veil from the mind and heart of the believer by the Spirit to behold the glory of Christ. We're freed for beholding the glory of Christ. The truth, therefore, of 2 Corinthians 3:18 is for those, we all with unveiled face, who have been freed from this veil. So how is the veil removed? How is the veil removed? Moses removed the veil when he turned to speak with the Lord. Verse 29 or verse 34 of Exodus 34. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil. The spiritual veil over the minds and hearts of unbelievers is removed by turning to Christ. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. If we see glory this morning in Christ, May we understand what God has done to free us from the veil. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Believer, this is your testimony. You are a new creation. Notice in that verse, he's referring to Genesis 1:1, or Genesis 1, where God created light out of darkness. And believer, Christ, God has created light in your heart. So if we think that that's amazing, let us think that salvation is amazing. We are a new creation. And unbeliever, I'm praying that this happens to you right now. When Moses removed the physical veil from his face, glory shone on his face. When God removes the spiritual veil from our minds and hearts, glory shines in the face of Jesus Christ, kind of like the sun is beginning to do now. Where in the old covenant, only Moses was privileged to behold the glory of God, in the new covenant, now, the time that we are living in, we all, with unveiled face, see more glory than Moses saw on the mountain. Is that a glorious truth to you? It should be. Only Moses was able to behold the glory of the Lord. We all, with unveiled face, can behold even more glory. So after Moses asked God, please show me your glory, this is what God said. I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock while my glory passes by you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So why do we see more glory than Moses? Moses saw glory. Let's not think that Moses didn't see glory. He saw the glory of God, but not the fullness of God's glory. But we, in Christ, we see the face of God. We see the face of God where once glory was concealed, now it is revealed. Not in a place, as with Moses, but in a person. God himself. No exceptions or restrictions. Apostles and Corinthians, young and old, new believer, old believer, Christ has made a way for all with unveiled face to come behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. More glory than Moses ever saw. The glory that Moses saw was limited. It was a shadow. Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's glory. He is the reality. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of God's nature. Is that the Jesus that we see? The radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature? To see the glory of God, one need not to travel to Mount Sinai, one need not to pitch a tent of meeting, but to look in the face of Jesus Christ. And the one who sees Christ sees more glory than Moses ever saw. In no place do we see the glory of Christ more clearly than on the cross. So where do we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? I want you to see this connection that Paul is making between Exodus 34 and for us today. Let's ask the question, why was Moses' face shining? Exodus 34:29 tells us, because he had been talking with God. Moses' face was transformed by hearing the words of God. By Moses talking with God, with God talking with Moses, we learn like a friend. That's what it says. Moses was talking with God, and as the result, there was an effect of talking with God from being in the presence of God. So now, we all with unveiled face, by beholding the glory of Christ and the face of God, not limited, we can see as Moses saw even more, and do as Moses did, even more. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we find the face of Jesus Christ most clearly in the Word of God. A visit to the Bible is better than a visit to Mount Sinai. Each page is an invitation to the Mount of Transfiguration, to behold the glory of Christ and be changed like transfigured Jesus. It's what's awaiting us in the Bible. So may we read on the hunt for Jesus with the goal to behold him and become like him. In the Bible, we behold more glory than Moses saw, and more often than Moses saw it. If Moses reflected glory from his sight of limited glory, how much more should we in the new covenant reflect glory from seeing the fullness of glory in the face of Jesus Christ? Don't close your Bible. Don't come down the mountain until your face is shining like Moses's, until you see Christ, are amazed at Christ, are marveling at Christ in the cross, in the gospel. The Bible is the soil where transformation grows. Well, let's consider another picture of this in Acts 4:13, where Peter and John were, quote, recognized that they had been with Jesus. Why? Why were they recognized that they've been with Jesus? Because they saw what John said they saw in John 1:14. We have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So glory, sight of Christ's glory, is what changes us. When we spend time with Jesus, we will be recognized that we've been with Jesus. Like the Israelites with Moses, people will know if you've been with God. If we don't radiate from reading, may Psalm 119:18 become our most prayed prayer. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. With Moses, may we ask, please show me your glory. Let the face of Moses show. God loves to answer that prayer. Only the one with unveiled face beholds the glory of Christ. And only the one who beholds the glory of Christ will be transformed into the image of Christ. On the mountain, Moses beheld the glory of God, and his face was transformed, reflecting the glory of God. He shone what he saw. Paul says, and we all, like Moses, with unveiled face, we have been freed from this veil for this. Beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We become what we behold. New covenant believers not only see more glory than Moses saw, but transform more than Moses ever transformed. Our transformation goes beyond a shining face. The word for transformed is metamorphosis. It's the same word Matthew and Mark use to describe the transformation at the Mount Transfiguration. Like the change of the caterpillar into the butterfly, or the transformation of Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, believers are being transformed, not in face like Moses, but into another form, into the image we behold. The glory of Christ is what we are beholding. The glory of Christ is what we are becoming like. What we look at is what we look like. What we portray is what we perceive. We are transformed by being transfixed. We are shaped by what we see. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 3:18, they echo Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Whoever walks with Jesus becomes like Jesus. Or Paul's in Galatians 6:7, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. In the context of Galatians, he's commanding them to walk by the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, after he's given them the fruits of the Spirit. And then he says that. So let us sow, beholding the glory of Christ, that we may reap becoming like Christ. It is no secret that John Piper is my hero. Nearly everything that he has said, I have read or heard via his preaching or his writing. I am with him a lot. And the more I'm with Piper, the more I tend to think like him, ask questions like him, use words like satisfied or treasure or savor like him. Aaron thinks I wear blazers like him, but I disagree. Inevitably, for better or for worse, I will become more like him. The same is true for parents with children. The same is true for husbands and wives. We become what we behold, what we are surrounding ourselves with. And so therefore, the biggest need in my life, the biggest need in your life, is to see more of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not John Piper, not a spouse, not parents, but Christ. What if we don't behold the glory of Christ? What will become of us? Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8, is what we will become if we don't behold the glory of Christ. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. We become what we behold. Do you know what makes Satan happy? Distracting you with anything except the glory of Christ. Anything. So what are we beholding? What are you beholding? What distracts you from the glory of Christ? This is not Paul's idea, but this is God's. This is more than just mere wisdom. This is wiring in the human. God made man in his image. Man was made as a mirror to reflect God, to be an image of God on earth. God created man in his image, not to become like Adam, but now to become like Christ. And as a mirror reflects its image, so we become the image we look at. So what image is before you? To stop looking like the world, stop looking at the world. How do we expect to be transformed to the image of Christ if we spend more time watching sports or shows than watching our Savior? Where your attention is, there your affection will be also. Is your attention on Jesus? If we want to become like him, we must keep our eyes on him. Do you want to become like Christ? Do you want to change? God has given you an agenda. Fix. I love that word. Fix. Keep. Stay. Fix your eyes on Jesus. This is not to shame, but this is our privilege. This is what Christ has saved us for. This is the opportunity that awaits every believer. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You will become like Jesus. This is the secret to sanctification, is to continually behold the glory of Christ. Keep the portrait of Jesus as revealed in the Gospels continually in your gaze until the person of Jesus is. To become more forgiving, behold the forgiveness of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To become more loving, behold the love of Christ. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To become more patient, behold the patience of Christ. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To become more sympathetic, behold the sympathy of Christ. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. To become more perseverant, behold the perseverance of Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. To become more compassionate, behold the compassion of Christ. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. To become more evangelistic, behold the evangelism of Christ. This man receives sinners and eats with them. To become more hospitable, behold the hospitality of Christ. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. To become more generous, behold the generosity of Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. To become more obedient, behold the obedience of Christ. Obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. To become more joyful, happy, behold the joy, behold the happiness of Christ. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. To become more humble, behold the humility of Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by becoming a servant, he humbled himself. To become more submissive, behold the submission of Christ. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Become more serving. There's more. Become more serving. Behold the service of Christ. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Become more gentle. Behold the gentleness of Christ. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Become more peaceful. Behold the peace of Christ. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. To become wiser, behold the wisdom of Christ, who became to us wisdom from God. Paul doesn't say that we all with unveiled face may be transformed, but are being transformed. May the Christian who is discouraged, struggling, suffering, hurting, tempted, downcast, broken, helpless, hopeless, weary, hear the words of God. You are being transformed. We should not merely hope for transformation. We should expect it. The promise of 2 Corinthians 3:18 is that God wants the Christian to change more than the Christian wants to change. For he is the agent of our transformation. If God is for our transformation, who can be against our transformation? It is the words of the devil, not the words of God, that say change is impossible. Because of the gospel, the Christian is one who lives as if change is always possible. What's the proof? Look at the cross. See the empty tomb. Your transformation is of first importance to God. Christ died and rose for it. And when Christ died and rose, he canceled your sin and he conquered your sin. When with the same blood, he bought your justification and sanctification. Christ died for your sin so you can die to your sin. And the grace that takes the sin is the same grace that transforms the sinner. Behold the glory of Christ at the cross and be changed. Christian, as you behold the glory of the Lord, you are being transformed into the same image. Unlike Moses' transformation, ours is not physical. When Moses beheld God's glory on the mountain, Moses changed cosmetically. New covenant believers change morally and spiritually. Moses changed on the outside. We change from the inside out. Paul uses the same word transform in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Far better than a shining face, our minds and hearts are being transformed. But our physical transformation is coming. It's awaiting the return of Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. But for now, morally and spiritually. And it is an inward transformation, but the transformation is by looking outward at the glory of the Lord. Transformation comes from outside of, occurring in us, not by us. For this, Paul says, both the beholding and the becoming comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It is by the Spirit we behold, and it is by the Spirit we become. And by giving the change, God gets the glory for the change. We don't change ourselves. It is supernatural, which is so contrary to what the world wants to tell us. We don't change ourselves. It is by the Spirit. The beauty of sanctification is that the burden to be sanctified does not rest upon the beholder, but on the beheld. So to change yourself, stop looking within yourself. Stop looking in the mirror. Start looking at the man, Jesus Christ. When we gaze outward, we are changed inward. And as we become like Christ, we are transformed not in an instant, but continually. From one degree, Paul says, from one degree of glory to another. Like a tree, the Christian's transformation and growth is slow. The change is progressive. Until we are the product, like Christ, we are in process, becoming like Christ. So if you are breathing, God has not finished transforming you. And none of us have arrived. May we spend less time asking for things and more time praying, Lord, give me and others more degrees of glory, more degrees of holiness. Are you progressively becoming more like Christ? Are you? What's the trajectory of your transformation? Is it steadily increasing or has it plateaued? Your trajectory of transformation is the result of what you are beholding. If you are not transforming, I think there are at least three reasons. Number one, you are veiled, therefore perishing. Unbeliever, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Hear the words of God from Isaiah 45, 22. Turn to me and be saved. Number two, you are unveiled, but not beholding the glory of the Lord. Apart from beholding the glory of Christ, there is no becoming like Christ. Perhaps we aren't seeing the change we want because we aren't seeing what changes us. Glory is what changes us. It is through beholding that glory that we are changed. So may today be a day of reevaluating your lifestyle of beholding. Or third, you are like Moses and you don't know you're transforming. We learn in Exodus 34 that Moses did not know the skin of his face shone. But it was obvious to others. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Our face may be shining, but we don't know it. When we change, let us other people point that change out. When we see change in one another, may we be people who help one another see that change. Because of Christ, church, our present transformation is a foretaste of our future transformation. From one degree of glory now to another future. Moses' glory was fading. The believer's glory is forever. From glory to glory. Our glorification is only beginning. It's only beginning. Like our transformation is even more glorious than Moses's, an even more glorious transformation awaits us. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, both spiritually and physically, because, don't miss it, we shall see him as he is. Why are we going to be like him? Because we shall see him. If a picture of the Grand Canyon is beautiful, how much more is it in reality? Oh, sovereign grace, church, for now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. If Christ is beautiful from a distance, how much more face to face? If we see his glory in the pages of Scripture, how much more glory can we see by sight? If we are transformed by beholding his glory spiritually, how much more when we behold his glory physically? Our present and future transformation happens by seeing the glory of Christ. The physical sight of Christ will be the consummation of our transformation. And only the one who sees him by faith here will see him by sight there. Let us use now to prepare for that day. Faith here is preparation for sight there. How can we expect to enjoy eternal beholding of glory when we don't enjoy earthly beholding? Faith here is preparation for sight there. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. May we become ready for heaven by beholding the glory of Christ on earth. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So church, now and forevermore, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let me pray. God, you are glorious. Your cross is glorious. Your resurrection is glorious. You are glorious. God, help us to behold your glory. I pray, Spirit, that you would open our eyes to who you are. Pray, Spirit, that you would help us to see your glory, to behold your glory. God, I pray for those of us who don't see it, God, that you would allow them by your Spirit to turn to you and be saved. God, I pray for those of us who do, God, who we are unveiled, that you would help us to behold your glory more. And Lord, that you would change us as a church from one degree of glory to the next. Lord, we long for your coming. We say, come, Lord Jesus. We long for that complete transformation. So God, help us. We give you all the glory. We ask that you would sow this word into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.